Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of The Comic Source. I'm Jace. First of all, I want to apologize. It's been a little while. I was struggling to find time to record. I hope that you've been joining Manny and I over at LRM Online for our other podcast, The Nine Panel Grid, which comes out pretty much every Tuesday, sometimes Wednesday. Just a quick update. Got a new job. I think I talked about that on the show previously. And it was one of those things where I had an opportunity to take a job more on the corporate side of things. You know, for those longtime listeners of the podcast, I've worked in the restaurant industry for a long time. You probably know that, whether it be as a bartender, a server, a chef. And I just, you know, I'm not getting any younger. And so when the opportunity came along to stay with a great company and a great restaurant group, but maybe not have a role that's so physically demanding, I jumped at that chance. Also thinking that it would be, you know, more of a regular 9-to-5, and I would actually be able to put out more podcasts. Hasn't really worked out that way, through no fault of anyone but myself. It's purely on me. I tend to be somewhat of a workaholic, and I just learning this new job and things, wanted to make a good first impression, really have kind of made it a priority. And the podcast has suffered for that. So I do apologize. Hoping to get back on a regular schedule, start putting out a lot more content coming up. You know, convention season is upon us. So, in fact, I went to the Long Beach Comic Expo a few weeks ago, and I didn't do a whole lot of interviews there. It was kind of a different feeling show, just based on weather and other things that were going on. But I did do a couple of interviews there with some really close friends, some really talented comic creators that I always love running into. David Barron, color artist for Valiant, and then also the girls from Hex Comics. Hex 11 is their flagship title. Spoke with them as well. So those are the two interviews that I conducted on site. Set up a lot more interviews going forward. So hopefully we'll have a lot more from them coming up in the future. As I said, the weather was insane. I drove in from Phoenix to Long Beach. I got there about, I'll say, 1-ish in the afternoon. And it was coming down in buckets. You know, I lived in California for 40 years. And not Southern California, but California. And, you know, so I've been to Southern California many, many times. I've never seen rain like that in Southern California. You know, most people think of California as nothing but sunshine, especially in the Southern California area, Hollywood, Los Angeles. And it's not too far off. It doesn't really rain there that often. But this year, man, they've been getting just drenched. And being that California's been in a drought, the ground is dry, and all of a sudden you just dump all this water, and it's caused a lot of problems, mudslides, flooding. And I drove in. I got there about 1:30 and checked into the hotel, and it was raining so hard I couldn't even carry my luggage in from the car to my room, because it was pouring, and I didn't want to get soaked. So I basically checked in. I then went to the show, because Friday evening, they had the powers that be at Long Beach Comic Expo had set up a comic creator conference, C3 as they called it. So there was a lot of good people scheduled to speak at this comic creator conference. Mark Waid, Matt Hawkins, Bob Schreck, who's a co-founder of Oni Press, was supposed to be the keynote speaker, John Nee from Cryptozoic Entertainment, Travis Hansen, Vince Hernandez from Aspen Entertainment, Dean Haspel, Amy Reeder, Mark Waid, Steve Ellis, Heidi McDonald from Comic Beat, Matt Hawkins, not sure if I mentioned his name. So a lot of really, really good creators, and they were supposed to split up. And there was going to be three tracks or themes, if you will, in different spots. So one on marketing, one on law, one on Hollywood, just giving comic creators that are trying to break in or have creator-owned stuff some knowledge, some advice on how things really work in the comic industry. But because of the crazy weather, some people weren't able to make it. They were dealing with either horrible traffic, canceled flights, flooding in their own homes. So they ended up holding everything in the ballroom, which kind of worked out for me, because I wasn't sure. I didn't want to have to make the decision on what tracks I was going to cover at what time, because there's basically going to be three panels going on at a time. After the keynote address by Bob Schreck, then there would be these 9 different panels, as I said, 3 at a time in these 3 different rooms. And then at 8:15, meet back in the ballroom for a little Q&A and some closing remarks. But it worked out well for me, as I said. Everything was held in the ballroom. They shortened the panels from an hour just so that everybody that was there could speak. So it turned out, as I said, really well for me. Unfortunately, Bob Schreck wasn't able to make it. The keynote speech was delivered by Joseph Illich, who is a senior editor at Lion Forge Comics. Really intelligent guy. Super, super thoughtful. I know he used to write some columns for CBR. I'm not sure with the change since Jonah Weiland sold it, if he still does. But just really thoughtful. And really appreciate a lot of what he had to say. I'm hoping to have him on the show in the future. But it was a really great event, despite the rain and having to walk through 4 inches of water from where I parked to get into the convention center. There was no other way to get around it other than just walk right through. So my shoes were soaked, but it was great. Ran into Matt Hawkins after, and he gave me a copy of Think Tank Animal Number 1, which was couple weeks before it was actually released. He had a copy with him, and so that was awesome. I got to read it early, and I hope you all have gone out and picked it up now. But it was a really great event. A lot of knowledge in that room, a lot of good advice from a lot of the different panelists that were up there. So I hope that everybody that attended learned something, and it helps them in their own comic careers. And I would highly suggest, if you have a chance to go to something like that, to certainly take advantage, because there was a huge amount of knowledge. As I said, Matt Hawkins was talking about international distribution of comics. There were people up there talking about contracts and a lot of, I mean, some of the things you don't necessarily think about that are necessary when it comes to taking that next step in your comic career. So that was really cool. I think the turnout would have been better. I mean, it was a pretty decent turnout, but I think it would have been better had the weather not been so terrible. So I actually, based on that, wasn't necessarily expecting there to be as many people at the convention on Saturday, because as I said, it was pouring buckets and it continued to rain until about 8 a.m. on Saturday morning. Streets were flooded, palm tree and tree debris and stuff like laying all over, old trees blown down, blocking part of the road. I mean, it was just insane. Being that it was Southern California, you know, you don't usually see that kind of weather there. So based on that, I wasn't necessarily thinking Saturday was going to be a big turnout, but it was a pretty decent turnout. It was a lot more people than I expected, but it was a little more of a subdued crowd. And again, I think that's partly due to the weather. Sunday was a little sunny, much more clear skies than the previous 2 days, but it was windy. But it was still a decent turnout. I actually left midway through the day on Sunday just because I wanted to get back early. It's like a 5-6 hour drive from Phoenix, and I had to work on Monday, so I didn't want to be getting in too late. Like I normally I'll roll in about 2 a.m. by the time, you know, I stay till the show ends at 5, and then, you know, fight my way out of LA traffic and stop to get something to eat. It's like 2 in the morning and get only a few hours of sleep and go to work the next day. So didn't want to do that. So I left a little early, but it was great to see a lot of the people that were there. Jason Momoa was there on Saturday. I was hoping to get a chance to speak with him, but his line was just too long. But I did speak with a lot of other creators that were there, and like I said, going to have some of them on the show. George Perez was there. He had a long line all weekend. Mark Waid was there for the Comic Creator Conference, and I was really looking forward to speaking with him again. Haven't talked to him in a while, but unfortunately he had a family emergency. And he wasn't actually, he left the reception after the Comic Creator Conference early. You know, I just had a chance to say hi. I was speaking with him and David Barron, and then he had to run. So that was unfortunate. So looking forward to connecting with him at WonderCon. I spoke with Mike Zeck for a little bit on Sunday. He had a pretty decent line as well. Have an interview coming up actually later in this episode with David Barron. So I hope you all will enjoy that. It was great to see him. Jim Chung was there. I spoke with Shannon Eric Denton, most recently from Con Man and the Spectrum comic. It was good to see him. Didn't get a chance to speak with Stefan Frank of Silver, but he was there. His booth was pretty busy all weekend, which is a great sign to see. I spoke with Michael Golden. I was able to get a print. He had one print left of the ROM cover he did, so I was able to score that and set up an interview with him going forward. So looking forward to having him on the show. Tony Harris was supposed to be there, but I didn't see him. I think weather kept him away. As I said, Matt Hawkins was there. It was great to speak with him. And Zach Kaplan of Eclipse. He should be on the show very soon. He's got issue 5 of Eclipse coming out, I think this coming Wednesday. So he's going to come on and speak about that. Saw my good buddy Jeff King. He's currently working on, what is the name of that show? Comes on NBC. You know, he previously has worked on some really great TV shows, Stargate SG-1, White Collar, the Amazon original Hand of God, and now he's on the one with, I think it's Jamie Alexander, that comes on NBC about the girl with all the tattoos. Can't remember what it's called. Let me look it up real quick because it's going to drive me crazy. But yeah, it was great to talk to him. He said that he's got a few irons in the fire, a few pitches that he's given lately. Hopefully they will come to fruition, and we'll see his name back in the pages of comics, because I really did enjoy his Telos series. Blind Spot, that's the name of the show he's currently working on. I think they're on season 2. So yeah, it was a great show. Todd Nock as well I spoke with, Alan Pasalacqua, hung out with a little bit over the weekend. It's always great to see Todd and Don Nock. Todd and I have a little something brewing that hopefully will be something really cool that we can bring to you. Saw Norm Ratman there as well, good friend. So yeah, it was a good show. As I said, it wasn't quite as good as it could have been, I think, and that's through no fault of the organizers, because they really run a tight ship over there, and there wasn't any problems. Like the last time in September when we went, they had the Con Man panel and the Serenity or Firefly panel, and that did cause some issues. I don't know if I would say there's anybody as big as a name as Nathan Fillion this time, and so that probably helped without having any huge lines, but things seemed to go really smoothly. I didn't hear any complaints from anybody as far as logistics go, so it was a really great show. It's a great way to spend a weekend. It's probably not a show that you need to necessarily attend more than one day, unless there are panels on multiple days that you want to go and see. But Long Beach is a beautiful city, so I definitely recommend it. The after party on Saturday in the official hotel there, I think it's the Hilton that's right next to, or the Hyatt that's right next to the convention center. That was a lot of fun. They had like a trivia contest, so kind of teamed up with some people and answered some questions. On our table, Dean Haspel was there, and David Barron and Amy Reeder and Alan Pasalacqua and I, we all kind of were on a team together. Did fairly well, but man, there was some stuff like when it came to TV theme songs, and I don't watch much TV, and they were like recent shows. So I wasn't much help there, but it was fun, and I look forward to the next Long Beach show in September. Always try to go out to those shows, so really, really cool, really good time. So I'm going to go ahead and play the interview I did with David Barron now. We talk about his love for Valiant, how he feels that they're really doing some great things, and David also has a chance to tease a creator-owned project that he's been working on for a really, really long time that's finally coming to fruition from 451 Entertainment or 451 Media, which is Michael Bay's production company. So that's a pretty big name, and hopefully it's going to get a lot of traction, because David's one of the really, really good guys in comics, very passionate, loves to talk about the work, loves to impart knowledge on new people that are coming up. In fact, when I first went over to his table and sat down with him to do the interview, there was a gentleman there that had a portfolio to show David. And, you know, David took his time. He went through. He offered a lot of great advice. to this guy who's looking to break in, very generous with his time. You know, some creators, they go, you know, I don't really have time, or they'll just glance and through it and say, you're not ready. Keep working at it, whatever. They don't necessarily offer like specific things like, how can you get better? You know, what are the things you need to work on? What did you do right? You know, what are the things you need to build on? So David took the time to do that. And, it was really awesome to see, you know, the comic industry is a pretty small industry. There's not a lot of jobs when you think about it. And things can be competitive, right? Like, you know, if there's only so many penciling gigs, there's only so many coloring gigs, right? So in some industries, when it's like that, when it's small, you don't necessarily want to give advice because it's so competitive and you're like, well, I could be hurting myself by helping out somebody else, because it's going to cost me work in the future. The comics is not like that. Everybody's pulling for everybody else for the most part. And it's great to see firsthand. And that was a perfect example of that, with David helping this guy out. So hope you enjoy the interview. As I said, I apologize for not having episodes up for the last couple months. That is definitely going to change going forward. I've been talking for a while about wanting to get this thing daily. Really going to do my best to try to shoot for that. It may just come down to me recording multiple episodes back to back to back to back to back on the weekends when I have time, when I'm not on call. And please reach out to me via Twitter or Facebook or through the website, thecomicsourceblog.com. If you have any thoughts or suggestions or ways that you'd like to see the show change. You know, the one thing I worry about is just making it timely. If I'm recording episodes only on the weekend, you know, if news drops on Monday or Tuesday, by the time I talk about it, it may not really be news anymore, so to speak. So it's one of the things that I'm kind of working on, I guess I'll say. So I'd like to thank everyone for joining us, or me, rather. Please visit us at thecomicsourceblog.com for past episodes of the podcast. You can also watch episodes of our YouTube channel there, as well as finding links to Manny's written blog and my written blog, and of course our sketch gallery. You can also follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/thecomicsource. Also do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook and Instagram to keep up to date on new episodes and convention coverage. I put up a ton of pictures on Instagram for the Long Beach Comic Expo, so definitely go and check those out. We're also in that partnership with LRM Online. You can go to lrmonline.com and enjoy that 9-panel grid podcast that Manny and I have been putting out. New episodes come out, as I said, every Tuesday. They cover a variety of topics, more of a kind of a beginner's perspective on comics, I guess you'd say. Really appreciate that. There's also a lot of other really great pop culture content on lrmonline.com. So go and check it out. Meanwhile, enjoy the interview with David Barron, and I'll talk to you next time.
All right, this is Jace coming to you from the floor of Long Beach Comic Expo. I'm here with comic artist David Barron, one of my favorites. Great to see you, man.
Hey, nice seeing you, man. How's everything going?
You know, life's good. No complaints. How about you?
Good. I craved your food, man. The first thing I said to you when I saw you is, hey, what's for lunch?
Yep. Phoenix in a couple months, I'll be hooking you up.
Awesome.
So, for those of our listeners who aren't familiar with your work, what do you have currently on the stands?
Well, currently I'm still exclusive with Valiant Comics. On the stands is a completed Bloodshot Reborn, Bloodshot Island. Hopefully all of our fans are, you know, deep into Bloodshot USA and beyond. So I moved to Divinity 3, Stalinverse. We just wrapped up issue 3, but that is yet... made it on its way to the shelves. So that should be on the shelves pretty soon. Divinity's 3 Stalinverse has been a roller coaster. It's been, I think, accidentally mirroring, you know, some of American politics and what's going on, and hitting close to home. So it's been very interesting to see, you know, the whole creative team, Matt Kent, you know, starting it off, tell this story. It's been I think, a departure of what we've been used to Divinity, of what we've seen in the first two story arcs. And I haven't read actually the end of this. Come Monday, I'll get to read, you know, the final script and get some closure of a story. And I'm looking forward to it, and I think most people are as well.
So it's been about 4 years now since Valiant kind of reemerged on the comic scene. A lot of buzz when it first started. I think it surprised a lot of people with the quality. In my mind, the quality hasn't diminished at all. But I'm not necessarily hearing about it as much as I was. You think it's just a crowded marketplace? Like, what? Do you feel like that's the same?
I think Valiant made two things happen. One, they made the rest of the comic book industry take notice and help make better comics. Two, I think people are taking it for granted how the quality of comics are made, because it's been so consistent that it's much easier to pick apart the times that they didn't provide that high amount of quality because they wanted to get the book out on time, which they still haven't failed at doing yet. Fred Pierce is extremely proud of that, as he should be as publisher of Valiant. And so I think part of it could be that, because the truth is, Bloodshot Island by Miko was amazing. Everything Louis LaRosa is doing is amazing. Yes. And it seems like the artwork that I've seen on the new EXO book is just stellar. So I think Valiant has done an incredible job figuring out how to keep their books high in quality to above standards of modern day comics, while at the same time staying, on a schedule. And, people shouldn't take that for granted. People should appreciate it, and they should talk about it. But you can't always ask. I would never say to people, hey, compliment me.
Right,
it's like, no, I'm going to do my best work because that's what I want to do. And if you notice it and appreciate it and comment on it, then great. And if you notice and appreciate it but don't comment on it, that's okay too. That's okay. Just because, we're in a very tell-me-about-my-work society, and we don't necessarily need that. At Long Beach Comic Con, they had a conference called C3 the day before the show, and Mark Waid said, I apologize, I don't know if it's his quote or he was quoting someone else, but he said, your opinion of my work is none of my business. And it's so true, because the truth is, that's your opinion of my work. I need to make sure I'm just doing the best work I possibly can. And if I continue to do that, no matter what your opinion is, I'm going to be fine. And I'm going to keep producing good work. And that's a good bit of advice that was given at that conference. And I'm going to, probably take that to heart and spread that gospel and continue to do that, because it's what I believe in as well. I do the best I can every single second of my career at Valiant.
Yeah, and I think that's what kind of makes you the perfect creator to be there. And I feel the same way. From day one, Warren and Dinesh and everyone else at Valiant wanted to make sure it was quality first. And I do feel like, in a way, the Valiant fans understand that, but for the majority of comic fans, they don't necessarily appreciate the fact we're in a golden age. There's so many great books coming out right now. And Valiant has always been on time, and it's always been top of the stack when it comes to quality. And I'm not going to necessarily, they're taking it for granted, but they don't know any different from Valiant.
Right.
So in a way they can't help but expect that, and it's kind of like what you do as a colorist.
Mm-hmm.
You don't always necessarily get the credit. I don't feel like colorists and letters get necessarily the credit they deserve, because if it's done well, no one says boo.
Right.
They only notice when it's not done well. Then that's when you hear about it, because it pulls you out of the story.
Yeah, I've always been a champion of letterers, because I want to hold them accountable, like everyone else. I want to hold everyone accountable for doing good work. And I want to praise those that do exceptional work. I don't ever want to condemn people that do average work or poor work, because I honestly believe that everyone is always in a constant state of evolving and learning and either getting better or worse. You know, that someone that started off with a bang might be, you know, utter rubbish right now because he devolved instead of evolved
right.
into something better. And so I always want to critique them or criticize them in a private way, you know, in my own opinion of them, based off their latest work. And I can remember their past work fondly or unfondly. However, I want to see what they do now. And that goes with everybody, including editors. How are you treating me now? How are you, you know, cultivating this project? How are you getting the best out of your creative team? And I think when people do that, again, going back to, you know, the Mark Waid comment, I think you get really stellar work. And I think that's why Valiant comics, love or hate them, I think you appreciate the commitment that they have. Whether it's Fred Pierce on never being late and Warren making sure that happens, or down to the editors, you know, getting the best out of, you know, people like myself or Brian Reber or Ryan Wynn or Simon Boland. You know, it's what we can do as a group. Cause comics are the ultimate team effort. And without that, it's meaningless to me. You know, I think when I bypass a comic is because there's nothing about that comic that speaks to me as someone who cared about that project. I don't want to just, you know, have shelf space. I want to have space that is meaningful to that person.
Right.
Pardon me. We're at a convention right now. Yeah. Tomorrow, yeah. Tomorrow will work out best.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
We'll be here early. We'll be here all day. So.
Okay.
Thank you.
Have a good one. Sorry about that. some of the things about being at a convention during interviews.
Yeah.
You know, another loyal Valiant fan from Chicago, in Long Beach, you know, he was telling me about Bloodshot Reborn and how, you know, he just loves the book because no matter who the artist was on it, again, he could sense the hard work we put in it.
The passion.
Yeah.
The passion's there. Now, Valiant's had this hardcore fan base from the moment of the relaunch. I don't feel like that's diminished at all. Like I said, maybe some of the excitement or the buzz has worn off. Not to say the quality's dropped off at all. But what do you think the next step is? Is it putting out that movie to reach new fans? Is it making a splash with some kind of intercompany crossover? Like, what do you think the next step is to really put Valiant in more hands of readers?
I think what they're doing, the slow and steady approach, is very important because you can't run before you can walk. You can't walk before you can crawl, to a point. But you don't want to just always stay seated either. You don't want to just sit and be still. I think they are constantly trying to get people excited about Valiant Comics. They're partnering with Bat in the Sun, doing Ninjak versus the Valiant Universe.
Oh yeah,
web series.
Cool.
I think that's going to bring a lot of. I already know it brought a lot of new eyes to Valiant at New York Comic Con last year. I brought myself single-handedly. Myself, I brought, you know, several dozen people to the Valiant Universe based off the connection that Ninjak versus the Valiant Universe did. Then I know Jason David Frank. Some might know him as the Green Ranger. A whole new generation is going to know him as Bloodshot because he's playing Bloodshot. So he's taking that fame of a former project and he's bringing the excitement to Bloodshot. If you check out his Instagram feed, he's all about Bloodshot nonstop. He's so excited. That's going to bring more people to it. We have Kevin Porter, who's playing Armstrong. He's so excited to be Armstrong. He loves comics. We have just so many people. I can name the whole cast because all of them are so excited. That excitement is going to bring new fans to Valiant, and those fans are going to then read the books and be loyal because how well the books are doing at home base, you know, because Valiant Entertainment has been said first and foremost is a comic book company. This is why the Sony Moot Picture deal just didn't happen overnight. You know, people have to understand how it became and why it was, you know, announced because of the hacks. If they didn't have to announce it so quickly, they probably wouldn't have. They might have teased it, but they might have not, you know, announced it so quickly. Maybe they would have. Who knows? But they're going to do what is financially responsible to the comic book company, and they're not going to put any of that in danger. And it's clear to me that they have continued to keep that philosophy.
Yeah, I mean, 4 years now, 5 years since they debuted on the stands, you know, much longer than that working behind the scenes. Best idea always wins. It's quality first, and it's caring about the fans from day one.
Yep.
There's no comic company out there that cares more about their fans than Valiant.
Well, correct.
Without question.
Correct. Without question. I told Dinesh that it reminded me about my old days at Wildstorm, because they truly cared about their properties and they truly cared about their fans because they knew how important it was. And I think the most important part for Valiant is to never lose sight of that. And the day they lose sight of that, they will make very loyal fans feel betrayed. And but as long as they keep true to the comic, the loyal fan will never feel betrayed. Being a Valiant comic fan doesn't mean, you know, that you get you know, inside information because you're so loyal. It doesn't mean that you know, you get special things sent to you. Those are byproducts that sometimes happen. What it means is that you are loyal because the company is loyal back to you, giving you the best books they possibly can, and you believing them. And when the fan stops believing that they are getting the best product from them, that's when they will be turned away. That's when they will say, no, I'm going to go look for something else. And I think that's why Valiant has been growing very steadily as it is, because when someone discovers the Valiant universe and meets, you know, Andy Ligel or Dinesh or Adam or Hunter or myself, who's not even part of Valiant besides a freelance artist, but still has the passion, you know, they understand that, you know, they can put some money into it and it's not going to be wasted. They're going to get a good story.
Yeah, now, how long have you been working in comics? How many years?
I've been working for comics since I was 15. Back in my sophomore year of high school, which is in 1994 or 5. That's how it's getting back there. I had my first professional gig as a studio color artist at a place called In Color, which worked for Image Comics, mainly Wildstorm, as it was owned by Wildstorm's president at the time, John Nee. Before that, I was just an everyday comic book fan that went to shows, showed my portfolio at a young age, you know, got feedback. But then at 18, I transferred over to Wildstorm proper. You need to be 18 to work there. And DC bought us about 3 or 4 years later. And then I signed an exclusive deal with DC, and from DC I went to Cryptozoic, back where John Nee was a co-president, and he we worked on the World of Warcraft properties, the Big Bang Theory game, board game, DC deck building game, lots of great properties there. And then after a year or two there, we parted ways, and I sent out a single tweet. And I said, if anybody needs a colorist, I'm available. And instantly, David Macho, one of the art agents, the art agent of Spanish Inquisition, contacted me and goes, wait, what do you mean you're available? I said, I have zero work in right now. I just switched careers again. I'm coming back to comics. So I'm available. Who wants me? And he immediately said, I'm calling Warren. I'm calling Josh. you're working with my guys. You know, I want you on my guys. He was a fan of my authority stuff and my planetary stuff. And so everything went really well from there. And you know the rest of, you know, the Valiant history.
You've been working long enough in the industry now. Your stuff's a well-known, well-respected creator. You could probably work for any company you want. It says something that you're exclusive with Valiant, at least to me, as a fan.
I would like to think I could work for any company I want. You know, sometimes the reality is projects come and go, and windows open and close, or doors open and close. The reason why I'm happy at Valiant is because it's an open relationship of talking. It's a chance to they value my creator-owned projects that are in development. They have always allowed me from day one to do that under the exclusive. They are supportive of me at shows. They yes want me to work as much as possible, but they also understand that, you know, my days of just being a monster workhorse are done. That I'm not, you know, I have other ambitions, and they still will get the, you know, most out of me that they can, but at the same time respect, you know, the understanding and knowledge. I would say this: Dinesh is the first person that has also the capability to do so, that has given me the amount of respect my career deserves. Doesn't mean that it's demanded. It doesn't mean that it should happen every time. It means that Dinesh knows my career. He knows I've been a editor. He knows I've been an art director for major projects. He's known I've worked on major projects. He knows I've worked conventions, you know, from a young age. He knows I've always been on time. He knows me. And I would say that Valiant tries to know its creators very well. I won't say that it's true for everybody. I won't say that they have the ability to know every creator intimately. I do say that they try to know every creator intimately. Some of us are harder to know. You know, some of our careers are not as well publicized. Some of them are not as diverse as mine. In terms of one field, they might have diverse backgrounds, but not in terms of, you know, comics, where they've done a little bit of everything in the comic book world. I mean, I even did Flash animation for Mad Magazine under DC Comics at one point. I mean, back when Flash animations were considered, you know, cool and useful. I find that the reason why I signed my deal at Valiant is because they understood that. And anytime you feel like someone understands you, you are a bit vulnerable. I won't, you know, it's very true, where if you, you know, release yourself to that vulnerability, you can do a lot of amazing things because there's a lot of trust. But at the same time, your feelings could get hurt. And you know, I'll be honest with you, that has happened at Valiant. My feelings have been hurt different times. But it's always been worked out with professionalism and understanding and a desire to continue to work at the highest level with each other. And that's what a true professional is. You know, it's just like a good marriage. You know, a husband and wife isn't always going to get along. But in that, if you are in a good marriage, you guys will get through disagreements, you will get through misunderstandings, you will get through things that neither of you could, you know, foresee, as in a bad accident or medical condition. Rocky marriages, you know, have a hard time getting through that. And the truth is, any rocky road with Valiant, you know, they've been able to get me through, you know, keeping everything positive and going through in a good way to get the, you know, best work for the comic book fans. And I really appreciate that part about them.
Being that you've been in the industry so long, it's really easy to get jaded, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what it is about Valiant that prevents that great relationship, that professionalism, that you still have excitement about the properties because it's always everybody passionate and wanting to put their best work out there?
No, I think people get jaded in comics or in life in general because they think more of themselves than what they put out. Meaning that you might have all the potential in the world to be this amazing person, but you weren't the one that decided to make your own book when you had the opportunity. You weren't the one that decided to go to that convention on your own dime and invest in yourself. And therefore, you did not get all, you know, the attention that you wanted. Or vice versa, you did fund your own book. You did, you know, pay your way to all these conventions and other people didn't. And your stuff still wasn't successful. Self-reflection, you know, matters. I think people that rely on publishers to fund their careers don't understand what a publisher is. A publisher is a partner. And if they don't like your work anymore, you know, for whatever reason, it's their right. And it's your job to make sure that you are finding people that like your work, always diversifying. I mean, I'm exclusive. Exclusives are very dangerous. But if it's a partnership that you're satisfied with and happy with, then it's a good thing to go through because you're you know, exclusive for a reason. I'm exclusive. Oh, sorry about that.
Oh, Andrew.
Yep.
You're busted, kid.
Andrew Garcia, please meet your father at the Press and Pro registration in the arena lobby. Thank you.
So hopefully Andrew will find his parents, but going back to what I was saying, loyalty is one of those things where it's great. I'm signing that exclusive for Reborn and Divinity, and they have some other, you know, plans later down for me. But the truth is, when those plans dry up for me, I can't be bitter if they don't have another book for me. Fans can't be angry that they don't, you know, want to work with me if I'm not producing what they see as results. And the people that can't accept that way of business, that's when you become jaded, that's when you become bitter. And there is a point where people become jaded and bitter because they reach, as you said, my long career, and they think like, well, I put in my dues, I should get that. And the truth is, in this world, we're in the entertainment world, if you're not giving the fans new content that they love, you better have given them old content that they can't get enough of, you know.
Yeah, nobody's owed anything.
Yeah, and people that go to Chris Claremont lines, Rob Liefeld lines, or Perez lines, you know, any of the original creators of Image, or Stan Lee, it's because they put in such a body of work that these fans still appreciate. And that's why they're still there. It has nothing to do with what's new, you know. And that can't be for everybody. We all can't be a Jim Lee. It's just not possible. If we're all Jim Lees, then no one's a Jim Lee.
Right.
And you have to, in comics, learn, and in life, learn how to appreciate where you are. And I highly appreciate where I'm at. I'm very happy with my relationships with the comic book world. Very happy with my standing in the comic world. Very happy that fans enjoy my work, and very happy that I can sit at a convention booth, be interviewed by people like yourself, sign, you know, hundreds of autographs throughout my career of people bringing back work when I was 20. I signed a book today that I did, I think, when I was 17. So it's one of those things where, you know, that's very humbling when I see a book like that. And you have to just appreciate it and not let it go to your head. And my friends would be like, oh, come on, David. It's like, because I definitely do like to joke around, you know, of you know who I am, you know. But to me, it's really a joke because, you know, who I am is just really a hardworking colorist and comic creator that's, you know, been lucky enough to do something he likes, if not loves, you know, his whole career.
I'm going to get a shirt made, by the way, that's going to say, we can't all be Jim Lee, then there will
none of us will be.
Absolutely, yeah. If we're all Jim Lees, none of us are Jim Lees.
Exactly.
And below it should be support your local comic book creator. You know, support small press, support independents. You know, comic cons, their artist alleys are filled with, you know, print hustlers, but not so much people that are making their own books like they used to. If you see someone that has their own book out, you know, take the time and go flip through it. You may not buy it, you may not like it, but you might. And when you buy that independent person's book, you are actually fueling the next generation of comics, and you're going to get more diverse comics and better comics because you are supporting that unknown person sitting by himself lonely in front of Artist Alley. And understand, you know, if they have a book that's out in front of them, you know, and you know, not a lot of sales, they self-published, they funded themselves, they backed themselves to get the book out, so at least they believe in themselves. Go find out why they believe in themselves.
Yeah, it's a lot of passion, a lot of hard work behind that, and we all got to start somewhere.
Absolutely. If people judge me today by my work when I was 15, I would not have a job in comics. Thankfully, they did not. They judged me on my work ethic and my desire to strive, and I judged myself on those things as well, of not giving up and always trying to get better. And if we're always trying to get better, then no matter what we try to do in life, we're going to have success. It might be hard-earned success, but eventually that success will come.
So one thing I'm always curious about, you've been around the industry for so long now. I have to imagine that your contribution to Valiant is more than just as a colorist, right? Like, Dinesh and Warren probably pick your brain about things beyond that, like perspective and history of comics. And hey, David, what do you think? Think about going this direction. Or what do you think of this idea? Does that kind of conversations happen?
So I've had conversations like that with publishers in the past. At Valiant, no, not in that sense. They have a very clear idea where they want to go story wise. As you know, Warren's very smart and understands how to control a universe. And Dinesh knows Valiant better than anybody.
Yeah.
So the truth is,
I win the trivia game every year.
Absolutely. And the truth is we don't. You know, they don't need me for that. They have used my expertise in other things. I've helped art direct the Bloodshot statue to give suggestions on what I've done in the past during my other statue projects. You know, little things like that. When we did the XO 50 celebration, they asked about how are we going to get a bunch of original sketch cards and books with keeping it within a budget, something I've done before in the past. You know, so it's more things like that. And we have a lot of talks with each other about the industry, me and Dinesh, about the industry as a whole. But they don't need my advice. They need to, you know, keep true to themselves like I kept true to myself. And, you know, I think I have more talks with, you know, Fred Pierce and some of the, you know, people not involved in actually making the comics but operating the business. And you know, because I've done it for so long, right, that I feel that Dinesh just doesn't need my help, you know. But the truth is, like most people like myself, if Dinesh ever asked, you know, I would definitely take the time to, you know, talk to him about it.
Now, you mentioned to me last night, and you mentioned again in the interview a little bit about creator-owned. I can't wait. You've teased a little.
Mm-hmm.
What can you tell us? Before you start,
okay,
let me just tell all our listeners, when the time gets much closer, you're going to be back on and you're going to be talking about it in depth. But let's just give a tease for now.
Yep, absolutely. No, when it's fully announced and ready to dive into the story, but I fully self-funded, put all the, you know, practice what I preach, no Kickstarter. If you do Kickstarter, that's fine. It's not for me and not for my projects. I put all the money into it, hired an artist, a letterer, I wrote a story, a 5-issue miniseries that I truly believed in. I believe the story should be told. I believe that the story is exciting and makes for a good read and provides a new character in the comic world that can exist. It's got picked up, luckily, after a lot of trying from 451, which is, if you don't know them, it's a young company, only about a year and a half old. Their biggest claim to fame is, as people say, it's Michael Bay's production company. So, you know, they have a lot of Hollywood excitement to it, where they're instantly going to take it and you know, shop it around and see if we can't, you know, get more than just a comic. But the truth is I told them from day one, look, that's your guys' stuff. Mine is the comic. I care about the comic. We have Steve Morris, who's done covers for Buffy the Vampire Slayer. He's doing the main covers, issue one. A great friend of mine, Jock, is doing the variant 1 in 5 cover.
Nice.
I have Ramon Villalobos, who worked on Archer and Armstrong with the John Layman story. I have Eisner Award-winning artist and creator Mike Norton to do the variant to number 3. I have one of my favorite artists, Adam Gorham, who has done many variant covers for Valiant to do the number 4 cover. And then I have a very passionate number 5 variant cover by Jonathan Wayshack that I handpicked, you know, for that one, because his style just matches what I'm hoping, you know, that cover will be. So it's a sci-fi adventure book. We'll go in depth later on it. It's definitely a personal project. It is a new chapter of my comic career, not necessarily in the writing part, but in terms of creator own, where it's start to finish, you know, my words, my thoughts on a page.
I can't wait, really. I mean, knowing the quality of your work, knowing the passion you put into your work, I know that it's going to be your best foot forward. I can't wait to check it out.
Thank you.
Can't wait to have you on to talk about it.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for your time, David. Always great to talk to you.
Absolutely.
Thanks.